know what that music means. Hockey's back. The exhibition games are in the books. They're done. Everything gets going tomorrow morning. It'll actually start in Toronto with the first game. It'll be at 11 o'clock Central. Five qualifying round games on Saturday, and then the Predators will start the Sunday action. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday afternoon. We were here. We had our setup. We did something we've never done on the radio side. Pete Weber and Hal Gill in a room at Bridgestone Arena. I was here at my home. Ian Safar was the producer back at our studio. So everybody was separated and no issues. Willie over on the television side, they did a first too, something they've never done before. That whole broadcast crew there at Bridgestone Arena giving you the Predators Stars exhibition game. No issues. Now we speak with Predators General Manager David Poile. He's in Edmonton. He's in the Hub City. He was there at the setup at Rogers Place. David, what did you think seeing it in person?
No issues.
That's good to report. And a victory. So all in all, it was good. But it looks great on television. What about in person?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I just can't believe they put this together on such short notice. All of the, I guess you say, all the protocols, safety, testing, feel like you're in a healthy environment. It's just really, really good. The hotel's great. Everybody's got their own meal room. Everybody's got their own meeting room. The players have a lounge over at Rogers Arena. They have like ping pong tables. There's like a golf simulator. Outside the hotel, there's a fenced off area so you can actually go outside, not very far, but you can go outside. They call it the yard, kind of like in the Shawshank Redemption, the yard. So it's all really, really good. I mean, to have this, I guess you say put this together to pull this off, I think it's phenomenal. And knock on wood, again, we get tested every day. Every morning we get tested, as we did all during training camp. So it feels like it's a good environment. All the teams seem to be really excited. I think that the competition, we've watched all of the, the preseason games that each team played here and on this side. All the games were very competitive, and it's going to be this tournament, if you will, anything could happen. And I think there's a lot of good teams that have a real good chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year.
As we talked about earlier on the show, it looks like the hub cities, the bubbles, whatever you want to call it, has really been the way to go. It has worked out thus far. It has been highly successful to this point. NHL, NBA, MLS, all in controlled environments, and other sports doing it in controlled environments. And it looks like Major League Baseball, which their initial plan, David, was to have basically a controlled environment in two places, in Arizona and Florida. For whatever reason, they went away from it, and they're having massive problems, as you know. I guess right now what I was getting at is, to your point of the setup being there, it looks like this was the right way to do it. The NHL got it right, two hub cities hosting each conference, and right now, so far, so good, knock on wood, that's the route to go.
Yeah, it certainly feels that that's the right thing to do. I mean, obviously, if you're flying around from city to city, getting on airplanes, coming in touch with people that aren't being tested every day, staying in hotels, checking in, checking out. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's the right recipe for success. So, yes, I agree with you. I think the NHL and the PA together got the right formula to give this a chance. And also, we're in an area specifically us in Edmonton, where the COVID has been very low, for the last 4 or 5 months. So, you never know. You got to keep your fingers crossed that still goes well. But again, I can't imagine, going to any other area that I'd feel is quite as comfortable as where we are right now. So far, so good.
I want to ask you about Jarrett Tinordi. Had over 16 and a half minutes of ice time. We've talked to you about him before, but it seems like going into the pause, he was definitely a guy that John Hines and his staff was very comfortable with, and you were as well. It seems coming out of the pause that Jarrett Tinordi continues to be a focal point of almost, dare I say, a shoe-in for that third D pairing. He played a lot of penalty kill minutes, more than anybody, not even close, almost 4.5 minutes of shorthanded play. Let's just go back to that. What have you seen? What have you guys, what has he done to really shed light where you guys seem to really like what he brings to the table?
Well, we were unhappy with our overall penalty killing for most of the year, and we're looking. I mean, we have a really good defense, but on the other hand, maybe all the guys that we have are not together aren't perfect for killing penalties. So we're looking for somebody that had a little bit more of an element. And you know, Jared is the biggest player on our team, and he's probably the toughest player on our team, and he brings that element that we're looking for, that ability to box out in front of the net to keep that area as clear as possible, to give our goaltenders a better chance to make the saves. And again, it just seems to be right now a real good fit. I mean, Jarrett was a high draft pick by Montreal. He was a first round pick, but never seemed to get the opportunity or maybe in their eyes develop. And he's been playing mostly in the minor leagues. And, you know, we got a chance to sign him a year ago, and it's, he's not only been a good player, but he's been a really good leader down in Milwaukee. He was a captain down there. So far, so good. And I, to your expression, shoe in for the third spot, that's a strong phrase, if you will. But it really feels like he's got a foot up on a couple other guys because of the element that he brings and because he can kill penalties pretty effectively. So it's been an improvement for our team having when we added Jared onto our team late in the season.
David, you guys were able to address two extra players, and one of those extra players was, well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it, but we'll just, for the sake of this conversation, say Colin Blackwell was one of those extra players. He's another one I'd like to ask you, a guy that we had seen a lot of, especially when John Hines had taken over. What do you guys see and like in Colin Blackwell?
Sort of like the Energizer Bunny. I mean, there's no stopping in Colin. Every shift is, he plays it like it's his last shift. He's just a hard player, not the biggest guy. He took a run yesterday at Dallas's bigger player. I think he came out probably a little bit the worst for the wear on that one, but it never deters him. And he just plays with a lot of, I guess you'd say, heart and soul. And, you know, there's always room for a guy on our team for that can play like that. But, you know, he's in a little bit of a fight for, you know, getting minutes. Yakov Trenin didn't play yesterday. I think Trenin started off camp a little bit slow, but as it came along, he got better. You know, again, if we're going to have some success and we're going to go anywhere in terms of winning rounds, we're going to need lots of players. So, you know, Colin had a good showing yesterday. I don't know if the coach is exactly set in terms of what his fourth line would be, but based on yesterday, it probably is Yarncroc and Incisions, Austin Watson, and then you've got Blackwell. So he's got a decision to make there, but it's a good decision that he has to make in terms of the fact that we've got good depth right there now being a healthy hockey club.
David Poile is with us, general manager of the Predators, as they prepare for the real thing on Sunday, game one against the Arizona Coyotes, a 1 o'clock face-off Central Time. David, you know, you can't tell everything from an exhibition game, but you'd certainly rather come out of it the way everybody felt about it yesterday, feeling good about the process here. And that just seems to be something that has been elusive at times the last season or two, even though, you know, you're talking about a team that's won a lot of games and won division titles. But there seems to be going into a postseason just a little bit of doubt. I don't know what the right word is, but it seems right now this is a very confident group, a lot of belief that things are going to go well, at least today as we sit here.
Yeah, I felt the same way, and I was saying to our staff before the game that I had a good feeling about how we were going to play, and I'm saying that for a reason, because I think there's a lot of time this year that I probably wouldn't be able to have said the same thing, just not sure exactly what we were going to get in terms of our consistency. But, you know, when I saw the players come back at training camp and the focus was there, the line combinations, defense pairings were all set up, and the work ethic was there on a daily basis. You know, you couldn't have asked much more from what the players put into training camp. So usually you're rewarded when you prepare well, work hard, and stay focused. And I think that's what we saw yesterday, albeit it's, you know, an exhibition game, but it was important, I think, for our team to see their work rewarded. And I, you know, just talking to a few players after the game and a little bit at breakfast this morning, they all, you know, all feel really good. It was a good start for us. And, you know, we did some good things offensively. And then in the third period, we, you know, Dallas played, you know, pretty good, and they played more defensively. But, you know, to me, there was no really major breakdowns in our game. It seemed like we never got rattled, and there's a lot of things to like about our complete game last night. So let's hope that carries over to Sunday against Arizona.
One key that we have talked about a lot is, and it's been really a theme all year long, is can Kyle Turris fit on that wing playing with Matt Duchene, two natural centers? If it clicks, it really looks like it puts everybody in a perfect spot. So what have you seen from Kyle Turris playing out of position a little bit, if you will, but playing with some very skilled guys? How has that looked to you?
Well, I think you're going to see both Turris and Duchene play the wing and center, depending on what the matchups might come through the Arizona situation in terms of what Coach Hines wants to do. So I think that's I liked their line yesterday. They got a couple of good chances. They certainly weren't a defensive liability. I would like Duchene and Turris to be a little bit more selfish. They both get the puck in a really good position, and they seem to be looking to make that one last pass. They both have scored a lot of goals in the past, and I'd just like to see them be just a little bit more selfish, just to try to score, and a little bit less pass, because he's certainly got lots of skill with the line, and Granny is such a hard worker that, you know, he's always in there first getting the puck for those guys. And I think if they would just bear down a little bit more and just think about shooting that puck, that the results could be there for that line.
Another guy I'm curious about is Dante Fabbro, because this isn't your normal growth curve. There was that pause in there, but I know how high everybody is on him long-term, and this is a great challenge. Playing alongside of Matias Ekholm, who's kind of a known quantity, how does Dante Fabbro's game look as you head into these huge high-stakes games?
Well, he had a really good training camp. I thought that he looked like he had grown, or his game had matured a lot. I think yesterday he and Ekki played well. He took a pretty bad hit from one of the Dallas players, which was a penalty. It was an illegal hit to the head, and I think that was probably threw him off for a little bit of the game. But saw him this morning; he seems to be fine. So I think Dante's in a good spot, and again, he's playing pretty big minutes for a young guy playing in the top four. So all things look really good for Dante and the continued good play of our defense in our top four.
Predators general manager David Poile here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And David, before I continue on your team, I do want to ask you about one of our favorite players that you made a trade for and acquired and played many, many years here in Nashville. Steve Sullivan, named the interim general manager of the Arizona Coyotes. I know that you enjoyed his time here as a player, but what were some things that maybe you saw getting to know him during those days that made you think, hey, he might do what you do later on in his career?
Well, first of all, I just came up to my room after talking to Steve Sullivan. We spent about a half an hour together kind of going on what was going on in Arizona, and I told him I'd be happy to have more conversations with him and help him if any way I could. If he thought I could be of any value, but it would have to be after the series. So
that's fair.
I would think that would be fair. Yeah.
I don't know, if I'm not exactly the best judge sometimes of players as to the future guys that are going to be in hockey or what have you. I mean, Steve is obviously a very skilled player and a very bright guy in terms of the game, but I'd be fibbing to you if I said, oh, I thought this is the route that he would want to go. He was just telling me that when they, they moved to Arizona, that he really wasn't looking for anything. And he said that he was actually coaching his kids in youth hockey, where in the, at the time, the Arizona GM, Don Maloney, sought him out to, they were looking for a former player to do something in development, similar to what we've done to one of Steve's former teammates and Scott Nickel. And Scott said, well, he's, I really want to coach my kids. If you can work this in my timetable, I'd be happy to help you guys out and get started, which they were very accommodating. It worked out for both of them. And now he's the general manager. So And the guy that is basically maybe not entitled, but right now is Steve's right-hand man, is former Predator Scott Walker. So it's just really interesting to see how these guys come along in their after playing career. And, you know, Scott's been a coach in junior hockey. He's actually coached the Canadian World's junior team, I believe. So he's had a lot of success, and now he's into into the management of Arizona. So a couple of former Predators doing a real good job off the ice.
You talked a little bit about just your training camp and what you saw out of your players, but I'm curious just from your eyes of what stood out to you about your head coach now that he had time to, you know, acclimate, not in the middle of a season trying to put a system together, now that he actually had time to teach during this training camp, and just how you've seen him maybe be a little more comfortable in his role now that he's had time to acclimate.
Yeah, as I've said many times, if there was the silver lining in this pause, it was probably for our coach to get to know the players better, to meet with them, to talk to them about roles, contributions, to get to know his coaching staff better. And, you know, to me, we saw that right away from training camp, the organization, the preparation, the subtle changes that he's made in combinations of lines, if you will, and certainly in areas like our power play and penalty killing. So he's now, you know, clearly starting to put his stamp on our team, which was, you know, hard to do, you know, in the middle of the season. And again, I really like the way that he's dealt with our players, the relationships that he has with our guys. And I think if you were to talk to our players, they'd be very happy with how John has got the team prepared for this this play-in round for starting with Arizona on Sunday.
We saw Jofa back together in training camp and in the game yesterday. When was that decision made of putting those three that have had a ton of success in the past back together?
Well, that was the coach and the coaching staff after, you know, some consultation with, you know, I say their hockey ops group, and talking to us about what we've seen in the past few years. And I think specifically John talking to these all the players and these three players in terms of how they thought they could play, where they thought they could be the most effective, and who they could play with to be most effective. And again, I think that they were really happy they were put back together, and their play from day one, and specifically yesterday in the game with Arvey getting the two goals, showed us that our first line is back intact, and that's a good start to going putting our club in a really good position to be a hard team to play against and to win some hockey games.
So, you know, I got to ask, UC Saros gets the start yesterday. Is that any indication that he'll be the goalie on Sunday when you guys play Arizona?
I don't think John Hines wants to reveal who's going to play goal until that time. I mean, you can understand that from, you know, any preparation that Arizona has to make. I think we'd like to leave that for whatever it's worth to the last minute. Again, maybe to the media, that sounds trivial, but that's how they feel. But I think the big answer to the question here is that we're playing three games in 4 days, and you know, if we're going to have this, hopefully a longer run, both these guys are going to play. As you saw yesterday, Saros was really good at the beginning of the game, and Pekka probably faced more shots in the second half of the game, and they both played excellent. So, you know, goaltending should be a strength of ours, regardless of which guy we go to.
You're a pro, David. You're a pro. Well done.
Well, you as you said, you had to ask.
I know.
You know, it's good. You got to have some stories still left out there. If we knew all the answers right now, and people may not watch the game.
I need something. Hey, David, I need something to talk about for the next day before you guys actually play. So I had to ask.
All right.
Hey, continue to be safe up there. Appreciate the visit as always, and let's talk soon.
Yeah, we're good. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Predators General Manager David Poile. Appreciate the visit. As always, Willie, take us to the break with a word about Lee Company.
All right, we're excited to have Lee Company back in the fold here as a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. And let's be honest, they've never left. I mean, they have been very supportive of the Predators and our station for a long, long time. We appreciate their business. We use in our household, I'm sitting in my house right now, Lee Company has made several visits to our front door. We've got an older house, and over time, we've been in this house almost 20 years now. You're going to have things that break down. You're going to have some maintenance that you need on your air conditioning unit, on your heating unit, your plumbing, your electric. And so our relationship with Lee Company is extensive because we're part of the home maintenance plan. And so we have the annual checkups. They make recommendations. And when there are repairs that are needed, we get discounts because of that. It's going to save you money long term. So think big, think long term, and become part of Lee Company's home maintenance plan. All you got to do is call them, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. If you've got something immediate, by all means, call them, and they'll come out and give you the top-level service. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.